Hello and welcome to the business of podcasting. I'm your host, Craig Hewitt from Podcast Motor. Here each week, I'll sit down with one of the leaders in podcasting to find out how they're using this fantastic form of content marketing to connect with their audience, grow their brand, and ultimately build their business. If you're not already podcasting, then today is the day to start, and here we'll show you how. Okay, let's get on with the show. All right, today on the show, we have Matt Bodner from the Science of Success podcast. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Craig, and honored to be here.
Awesome, man. Thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with us about your podcast and your business. And you know, we really like to kind of find out how people are marrying the two together. You know, the theme of the show, the business of podcasting, is really kind of how folks are using podcasting as content marketing or a form of content marketing to kind of reach new people and connect with their existing audience in a new way. So do you want to, for folks who don't follow your show or don't know kind of your story, do you want to, you know, give us the quick snippet on how you got started with podcasting and how it fits in with your business?
Yeah, absolutely. So I call myself an accidental podcaster. And, you know, my sort of primary profession is investing. And I'm a partner at a small venture capital firm that invests kind of in the food world. So we invest in farms and restaurants and that kind of stuff. But I've always been super passionate about personal development, psychology, and really what drew me into that was a guy named Charlie Munger, who is one of Warren Buffett's business partners.
Sure, yeah.
Incredible thinker, incredible writer and speaker. And so I kind of started following Charlie Munger and kind of getting into the rabbit hole of all the stuff he talks about. And one of the things he's super into is psychology and sort of how to sort of applied psychology in terms of making better decisions, specifically in the context of investing, but then also more broadly about kind of living a more effective life, influencing people, et cetera. And so I've always been really passionate about that. And at one point, a company that I was advising, the CEO asked me to, we'd had three or four conversations, you know, kind of hour long conversations, just chats about this stuff. And he goes, "Hey, Matt, would you take this stuff and basically create a hour long PowerPoint and share this with our executive team?" And, you know, I thought, hey, that's a great idea. I'd love to do that. And so I created the PowerPoint, kind of shared it with their team. And really, after that, did basically nothing with that deck for 6 months. It sort of dawned on me randomly at one point. I was like, hey, maybe like there's some value in sharing this with the other companies that I'm invested in, the other business partners that I have. And so I kind of embarked on this journey of just sharing that with a few people, you know, every now and then I'd be like, hey, like this might be really valuable, or maybe this will help you address some of the challenges you're facing, et cetera. And I happened to kind of through the course of doing that, I shared it with a close friend of mine, business partner, who at the time owned a science news website called redorbit.com. And he said, he was like, dude, I love this stuff. And I think you have a voice for radio, which I, you know, I don't know if I do or not, but
better than having a face for radio, right?
Yeah, exactly. But he said, hey, can we take this and basically create a podcast on our site? And, you know, you do the content, we'll do kind of the marketing, we'll do the editing, we'll do all that stuff. And I was like, sure, why not? And so we kind of started down that path. And the podcast is called The Science of Success, as you mentioned. And we launched in October, November of 2015. So maybe 7 or 8 months ago. And through about year end, we had around 7,000 downloads total. And I mean, again, going into this, really had no expectations about what it was going to be, you know, kind of what the response would be. It's just sort of the universe kind of pulled me into doing that. And I was like, okay. But we really, starting about January, hit almost an exponential growth curve that was massively different than sort of the beginning of the year. Mm. You know, to date, we have more than 450,000 downloads. We hit number one new and noteworthy at one point. We have listeners in over 100 countries. And the podcast has just taken off like way beyond what I ever imagined it would be. And, you know, it kind of through that process as well, probably 4 months ago, my friend actually ended up selling that website. And as part of the agreement we had, I sort of took control of the podcast myself after he sold it. And so if you listen to some of the early episodes, you'll see it's sort of sponsored by Red Orbit. And now they're no longer a sponsor. I mean, it's still a great website. But, you know, now a couple months ago, let's say maybe April timeframe of this year, I was basically on my own. Knew nothing about podcast marketing, nothing about audience development, nothing about editing or anything like that. And really just sort of started out being really passionate about the subject, stumbled into a successful kind of audience and a response that we never could have imagined. And so it's been a great journey. It's been a really interesting kind of experiment. It's something that for me is kind of a passion project. And the crazy thing and the thing that really motivates me to kind of continue going is the response that I've gotten from people. You know, I get emails from people all around the world. I got a guy in Brazil who sent me this email about how he changed his life. A guy in a couple actually in Germany that sent me an email that they had been trying to get pregnant for like 2 years. And they listened to my episode about meditation. And they said like a month later, they got pregnant. And I mean, wow. Can I really take credit for that? Probably not. But
hopefully you know, not. Yeah.
It's crazy to think that like these people that I've never met and, you know, never interacted with, really, I'm having a positive impact on them and they're spread across the globe. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's amazing, man. So the trajectory that your show has taken, especially this year, it sounds really, really wonderful. What do you think has contributed to that? I mean, your topic is really interesting, and I can imagine it's something that people, it's polarizing. Some people really connect strongly with it. Do you think that just the topic itself lends to a strong following, or are there things you're doing with marketing the show and engaging your listeners that is increasing your listenership so much?
I would say there's a couple things that have helped grow the listenership, and a lot of it's been a learning experiment. But for listeners that may not be super familiar, basically, as the name kind of implies, the science of success, it's basically about three things. It's about how to make better decisions. It's about how psychology rules the world around you. And then it's about sort of interviews with thought leaders and experts about how we can become better versions of ourselves. And so I think the subject area and one of the things we focus on is kind of having a sort of science-based approach to that. And so that's where the science and the title comes from. And looking at sort of the data, the research, the actual studies behind it and saying, okay, this isn't just Matt's opinion or this isn't just his guest's opinion. It's what the research says about, you know, how to be more productive or how to get better sleep or whatever it might be. But from an audience standpoint, I think the biggest, the best decision I made at the very beginning was partnering up with a website like Red Orbit. And again, I was kind of drawn into this, and so I was fortunate enough to sort of have them on the front end, but they have a pretty robust sort of monthly follower base, and I think kind of doing that at the very beginning, I was able to get access to a massive audience without really, you know, having an audience myself. Now,
that's huge,
kind of,
yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, partnering up with somebody that has an audience or kind of piggybacking on the audience of someone else and creating a joint venture was a huge piece of how we were able to launch so effectively and build such a large audience so quickly. Another piece of it, and one of the things that I've been really focused on for the last couple months, has been sort of a combination of one, bringing in really high caliber guests. And, you know, when you interview someone, you do a great interview, something that is unique content that, you know, they have a great conversation with you. They love the interview and they're excited about it. And it's not just sort of the generic same interview that you have every time they go on somebody's podcast. They're more excited about sharing that with their audience, you know? And so if you have the right kind of people, you know, if I have a guy who's an expert in the psychology of investing and, you know, he shares it with his audience, maybe some of those people are really interested in meditation and they get drawn in, they listen to a few episodes. And so having guests on is a great way to kind of expand your audience. And the flip side of that, and you know, one of the reasons obviously that I'm doing this show is being on other shows is another great way to kind of get exposed to people's audiences and spread your message more broadly.
Yeah, you know, I think that absolutely leveraging other people's audience either side of that sort of equation is really important. I think where a lot of people fall short is they understand that, yeah, you know, me being on someone else's podcast is important, or me having other high quality guests on my podcast is important. But then executing the sharing and the leverage of that experience is really key. And we have some people that we've had on the show and that we work with as customers at Podcast Motor that I think do it really well. And we have some people, unfortunately, that don't do it as well as they could. I was wondering from your perspective, have you learned things along the way? You said you've kind of learned trial by fire a little bit with podcasting and podcast marketing. Have you learned some ways to sort of elegantly but effectively make sure you're able to leverage the experience of a guest appearance or having high quality guests on your show?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's sort of three pieces to that answer. The first piece is when you have really high caliber guests, you know, kind of the premium names, it's much harder to make asks of them, right? I mean, that's kind of self-evident.
Sure, yeah.
But they still deliver a lot of value because they're, it's sort of like, and I think actually one of your previous guests, Jim Harold, talked about the same concept, where if you have sort of a medium-sized guest in terms of their audience and their popularity, you can kind of use that to leverage to get bigger and bigger guests. And so even if you have somebody that's really high caliber on your show and they have a huge audience, you may not be able to make an ask of them that is, hey, can you blast this out to your whole audience? But there's still value in having them as a guest. The flip side is, and one of the things we've started implementing is basically sort of a checklist for anybody that, you know, applies to be a guest on the show. It's basically four or five questions, and I actually pulled this from another podcast that I was looking at, the 5 a.m. Miracle. And I was looking at how people apply to be guests on their show because I was applying to be a guest on their show. And one of the questions he asked on his form is basically, you know, do you intend to share this with your audience? And so I basically created a four or five question thing. And now whenever anybody is interested in being a guest, I basically say, hey, these are the standard five questions we ask everybody, right? So it's not a personal thing. And one of the questions is, you know, do you intend to share this with your audience? And if so, what do you intend to share? Email, Facebook, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Another question is, are there editorial and content opportunities for us as well? So, you know, are there potential guest post opportunities? Are there potential podcast interview opportunities, et cetera? And so I think when you couch it in the sort of the framework of, you know, this is just our standard checklist. And especially if you can have somebody like a virtual assistant that's almost like an intermediary that just sort of drops that into an email.
Yeah, to deliver that message.
Yeah, it disintermediates you from being sort of the person that is asking a, and I wouldn't say it's abrasive, but, you know, asking kind of a question that some people might not like or some people might get offended by. And so if you have a VA do it, that's great. But even if you do it yourself, just say, hey, here's our standard checklist, like nothing against you as a guest at all. This is just what we ask everybody. And if they say no, that's fine. Like maybe you want to say, you know what, this person's going to deliver a ton of value to my audience and I still want to have them on as a guest, go for it. But, you know, maybe if it's a marginal guest or somebody like, I don't know if they're a good fit or whatever, if they're like, yeah, we'd love to have you on our podcast. We'd love to do a guest post. We'd love to, you know, blast this out to our email list. Like, want to do something really cool. Maybe it makes sense to do it. And, you know, that could be a big opportunity.
One
other piece of that I wanted to share, and kind of going back to what you touched on right at the beginning before you asked that question, was the idea of leveraging other people's audiences, right? And that's how I built up my audience effectively. And that lesson really hit home for me when I was studying Noah Kagan. And you may be familiar with Noah, or listeners may be familiar with him. Incredible internet marketer, one of the most successful internet marketers out there. And I was looking at, he did this thing a couple years ago called the Summer of Marketing. And one of the things was basically a lesson about how he built up the traffic. I think it was for the launch of Mint.com, or it was for some launch that he did. And he got like 100,000 emails on an email list was his goal, right? And he basically had this dead simple spreadsheet that was just where each of the 100,000 emails came from. And his website, okdork.com, was like 250 of the 100,000 emails, right? It was nothing. And it was like JV with X website was like 20,000. It was like JV with this website was, you know what I mean? And what really struck me is like he leveraged other people's audiences to build that entire email list. And you know, it's super hard to push the stone up the hill and go from scratch one person at a time and kind of build that audience. But if you can tap into somebody who already has an audience that is sort of relevant to what you're talking about, that's sizable enough and is engaged, there's great opportunities to leverage huge chunks of people's audiences just by, you know, sharing with them or getting them on your show or creating great content that they're interested in.
Yeah. One of the things I think sounds like was really, really fortunate for you is partnering with Red Orbit to begin with. If someone doesn't have the fortune of having an established audience that they're sort of standing on the platform of, what kind of tips would you have for somebody who says, okay, I'm starting from a dead stop, I want to leverage other people's audiences aside from, you know, guesting on other people's podcasts and having high quality guests on their show. Anything that comes to mind that says, you know, you can kind of create that framework that, that you enjoyed?
You know, and this is something that I've been thinking about, honestly, since we sort of amicably parted ways 4 or 5 months ago. One of the pieces of the puzzle, and this is actually a piece of advice that I took from Tim Ferriss in one of his episodes about how he launched a successful podcast, is if you're not transcribing your episodes, you should transcribe or have somebody transcribe every single episode. Take those transcriptions, boil them down into like sort of press releases or bullet points, and pitch relevant media outlets just stories about your podcast. And he had an example where he had an episode that I think won like podcast of the year or something like that. It was his interview with Jamie Foxx, and mm-hmm. he had transcribed it, sort of turned it into an article and pitched it to Business Insider. And he credited that article with the fact that that episode was so popular and that it actually ended up winning podcast episode of the year. And so I think that's a really good strategy. If maybe the sort of having guests, not having guests situation, if you're looking for something else to do, that's a good way to do it. And a similar thing, you know, really what I did basically at the end of the day when my podcast was being posted on Red Orbit, it was essentially they would just sort of do a post and it would have an embed and a link and essentially my sort of little blurb about the episode. And so if you can find a website that is sort of a niche website that fits your audience, or it doesn't even have to be a niche website, but just a website that's targeting your audience, see if you can get syndicated on there, you know, and if you're providing them the content, they're going to get the page views and they can run ads on that page and still monetize it. You know, there's a really good book called Trust Me, I'm Lying by Ryan Holiday that's all about kind of media manipulation and understanding the blog community and basically the relentless thirst for content that's out there today in kind of the internet marketing world and the content world. And he talks about, you know, if you can become a reliable source of page views, which basically equals money for a lot of these websites, they're going to want to work with you. So find a website that you can almost plug in as a syndicate or as a sort of syndicated piece of content, which is essentially what I did with Red Orbit. And that's a great way to kind of tap into their audience in a regular and scheduled way.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. You know, we're looking at a model for our business of creating new content for people who don't have time or don't want to get into podcasting. And I think this is sort of in the same vein of what you're talking about, is could we take existing blog posts or YouTube videos and repurpose them into podcasts and then just stick them back on these people's pages or, you know, websites. And I think it achieves the same kind of thing. You know, we would do it as a service, but I think anyone who's out there trying to hustle could definitely do it as a way to get some traction and make a name for themselves.
And I think the beauty of podcasting as a medium is that it's sort of, I would actually say the best strategy would be for somebody to do the reverse of that, which is, you know, if you're starting from ground zero and you want to build a content marketing strategy, sort of the easiest way to do it, in my opinion, is basically, you know, let's say you want to market to auto mechanics. I'm just making something up, right? Mm-hmm. But go and interview 50 people that are experts or that have really cool startups or whatever it might be that are in sort of the auto mechanic space, right? Go do a 15, 20 minute interview with them. Video if you can. If not, just do a Skype interview like this, right? And basically interview them, turn that into a podcast. You don't have to do a lot of production. Then you can take the transcript, turn that into a blog post. You can take the blog post, turn that into, you know, press releases, pitches, whatever it might be. So the beauty of starting with video is that, or, you know, even starting with audio, is that video can then be turned into a podcast, which then can be turned into a transcript, which then can be turned into a blog post, right? Which then can be blasted out across all of your different platforms. And so the easiest thing to do is, at least in my opinion, find experts in your niche, interview them, and then turn that into, that's almost like, you know, get 3 or 4 pieces of content out of every single interview.
Mm-hmm. And you're able to stand on those people's shoulders very easily. Yeah.
And you're delivering value to your audience, right? Like if you're trying to market and sell something into this sort of, again, the auto mechanic space, your audience is going to be interested in listening to all of these people that are already experts and thought leaders in that space. And it's the same concept that Jim Harrell talked about in the last episode, which is basically the idea, or one of your previous episodes, which is basically the idea that you start with sort of smaller fish, and then you get medium-sized fish, and then you get the bigger fish, right? You can do it in any niche, any content marketing strategy, basically starting from ground zero.
So Matt, one of the things that we deal a lot with in our customer work is setting up people's websites and podcast hosting and feeds and themes and things like that. I notice on your site you have your podcast content on your website as a subdomain from your host. Is that a setup that you're enjoying, or how did that setup come about? Because it's a little bit unique we've seen.
Honestly, my website's probably like a 3 out of 10, maybe worse than that. And it's currently being sort of revamped completely.
Okay.
When you click, you know, I'm going to add like Stitcher links and all that other stuff. When you go to if you go to scienceofsuccess.co, scienceofsuccess.co, that's basically the podcast's website. If you click podcast, it takes you to the sort of podcast hosting page. If you click show notes, that's really where the actual episodes are, and they have like the sort of blurb for each episode. It has the embed player. It has the links to all the books, et cetera, we talked about in the episode. So really probably what I should be doing is linking to just that as the podcast page, and then adding a bunch of sort of video, or not video, but like image buttons that are like listen in iTunes, listen in Stitcher, listen in Android, or whatever it might be. And the other piece that is a glaring thing that's missing, and I've been studying a lot of other podcasts and how they do their websites, you know, I don't have any sort of social proof. I don't have any testimonials. I don't have any, all that sort of credibility builders on the front page. I have basically an email opt-in and a little logo. So my website is definitely not something to learn from. And part of that is because, again, I kind of stumbled into this and I'm learning, but I've already got a plan in place, and Marty kind of in the back end redeveloping a lot of what our website is today.
Neat. We're in the final throes of creating a really nice theme just for podcasters. So I'll share with you kind of what that looks like offline, maybe, so you can give me your feedback on how we're doing. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that our theme does, and I think all websites should do, and especially podcasts, is have a real strong emphasis on email capture. And you do that really good both in your sort of call to action at the beginning of your episodes and on your website. Has email marketing been a big player in how you interact with your listeners and kind of the overall structure of your podcast as part of your business?
So, you know, for now, basically my only strategy has been to cultivate an email list and keep it warm with weekly emails. And so that's what, you know, when you go to the website, when you listen to an episode, basically my opt-in offer is every single month we give away a $100 Amazon gift card to the email list. And so, you know, my goal is basically for now, just continue to build the size of that list and continue to add sort of warm leads to it, and then hit them, you know, basically all I hit them with now is sort of the weekly episode that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And could I be doing more with it? 100%. I kind of have the viewpoint, and part of this is because for me, my podcast is not sort of my primary revenue generator in my life today. I mean, I think absolutely it can be, it could already be a revenue center. I'm waiting till I get a bigger audience and I feel really comfortable with the right sponsors before I monetize it. But I really want to build it the right way before I kind of go down that road. But my goal is to, you know, I kind of have the mindset about anything that I want to build the assets and the framework the right way. And then down the road, monetization becomes a really easy decision if you've kind of laid the tracks and set everything in place. So, you know, am I monetizing the email list today? No. Will building an email list of engaged sort of listeners and fans be a valuable asset down the road that I could monetize in a number of different ways? Definitely.
Yeah. Can you give a sense for just kind of what scale of email list you have at this point, you know, a year or so into it?
Yeah. So, I mean, my email list is not massive right now. It's probably 500-ish emails.
Okay. And with respect to advertisers, what has your approach been to that so far? I know that, you know, it sounds like you're being conservative and very prudent about, you know, monetizing your show directly. But can you give folks a sense of kind of what your approach has been to that so far?
Yeah. So a few months ago, I kind of had the idea and I ran some of the CPMs and looked at sort of what I could monetize it for if I just threw some sponsors in there. And I mean, it wasn't, the numbers weren't bad. It was probably between $20,000 and $30,000 annually that I could generate off of it in ad revenue. And I was going down the path of kind of looking for some sponsors and that kind of thing. And then I decided that, and I actually read, it was either a podcast or read an article by Tim Ferriss about podcasting, the same one where he talks about the Jamie Foxx article. And he basically said, instead of monetizing early on, wait until you feel really comfortable with your audience size and then go down the path of monetization. So I kind of thought about it and said, you know, this could be sort of a decent cash flow opportunity now, or I could really focus on trying to create the best content, trying to build the right infrastructure. And then down the road, monetization will, you know, sort of fall into my lap in the sense of, if I have a big enough audience and they're engaged enough and they're excited about it, I think the sponsors will be very easy to find.
Man, that's great. I love how this is a great lesson for everybody. You're very consistent with your approach across the board, right? With how you monetize the show and building and just keeping your email list warm and engaged and offering a lot of value to them. And like you said, building those assets now and to the point where down the road, they'll really be high quality assets instead of, I think a lot of people look for, you know, let me throw up that audible.com thing in my podcast when I have 100 listeners per episode. And I think you wear the people out early and you don't have the social credit with your listeners to really offer them something that they feel like is really genuine. And I think we see that over and over with people who do a really good job of selling or being affiliates for whatever, is that the more genuine they are and the more credit they've developed with their listeners through creating and sharing high quality content over time, the better they do in the long run, especially.
And that's a huge focus for me. And, you know, that's, at the end of the day, part of it stems from the fact that, again, it's not my primary business. And so I kind of have a more patient approach to it. And even down the road, if, you know, when I pursue the path of monetization, the primary thing I want to sort of create revenue for is to start to build a team around the podcast. So, you know, starting with kind of an editorial staff, et cetera, that can help take some of the workload. I mean, I already have kind of a VA that runs a lot of the back end and the administrative pieces, and I have an editor or a sound editor that does all the sound editing and the production and everything. But I really want to build a team around the podcast that can help me scale it and grow it to the next level. So even when I monetize, my strategy is not monetize it so that I can pocket some extra cash. It's monetize it so that I can build a team so that I can make it even better.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Matt, we'd like to kind of wrap up with a really tangible, actionable tip that you can share with listeners, you know, whether they're early on in their podcasting journey or if they're a veteran podcaster, as it might relate to marketing back to their business. What would you like to share with folks who are kind of looking to take their podcast to the next level?
I mean, I would say the easiest thing to do would be, if you haven't transcribed your episodes, get them transcribed and just find some people to pitch. You know, it's not that hard to find the editors at a lot of these very content hungry media outlets like Huffington Post, like Business Insider, etc. Take some of your stories, turn them into short pitches and send them out and see if you can get some people talking about it. See if you can tap into and leverage somebody else's audience to share your content with.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. You know, one bit of like a resource, I guess, is Help a Reporter Out, Harrow.
Yep.
It is a really popular avenue. It's an email list you sign up for. You get an email a couple times a day, and it's those really hungry reporters looking for a story on X. And if you just happen to have done a podcast on X, you stand a really good chance of you know, getting your content included in a major, you know, nationwide publication.
And I've been published a number of times just off of Harrow as a
That's
good
awesome.
Example.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. Matt, can you share with folks where they can find out more about you and your show and what you're up to?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the easiest way to find the show is just go to scienceofsuccess.co. That's scienceofsuccess.co. You can find the episodes there. If you click show notes, you can find them all. If you click podcast, you can kind of go straight to the page where the podcast is hosted. And if you want to talk to me or you have any questions for me, feel free to email me. My email is Matt. That's M-A-T-T at scienceofsuccess.co. I'd love hearing from listeners. I answer every single email that I get at people's questions, comments, whatever they might be. So I'd love to hear from you if you're curious.
Awesome. Matt, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Craig. It's been an honor to be on here.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. To find out more and check out all of the previous episodes, head on over to podcastmotor.com/show. I'd love to hear from you. If you can leave a rating and review in iTunes, please let me know what you think of the show. The ratings and reviews help us get more exposure to the show and bring on more awesome guests. All right, we'll see you next time.